This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number, and your email is talk@talklouisiana.org. We start with Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, the newspaper of record in Louisiana. And it has been a big week as far as elections in our state. There really was not a signature item on the ballot. Last year, for example, there was a big yawn when there was a race for treasurer, one of the seven statewide offices in Louisiana. But this time, with the Secretary of State's race being the major statewide entity, along with some constitutional amendments, 346,000 more people voted on Tuesday in Louisiana than voted in the gubernatorial primary of 2015, the race for governor, and all other statewide offices. So something's going on to stimulate turnout. And Mark Ballard, you've been around the block a few times. That's an amazing difference between 2015 and 2018.
Yeah, I think what happened was that Louisiana, you know, not immune from the national news stories, and there was an awful lot of national news concerning the president's wanting to keep the House in a Republican majority and keep the Senate a Republican majority. He and a lot of people viewed the midterm elections nationwide as kind of a referendum on President Trump's presidency. And I think that those stories, the long lines, the hubbub that surrounded this and the narratives of the campaigns reached down to Louisiana, where the incumbent congressmen were not going to change. I mean, it was a fairly safe vote for that. But voters were motivated to get out there and cast ballots. And we saw how that almost half of the registered voters in the state turned up and participated.
Well, it is remarkable to have this kind of a turnout for a midterm election. The other aspect of this is that we are voting in more substantial numbers on Tuesdays than we do on Saturdays in Louisiana. Is it time to look at this as far as perhaps having all the elections on Tuesdays like the rest of the country does?
Well, no. I mean, I think that that has to do with the kind of a national narrative that is going on. That is what the folks was motivating the bases to go out. It was what was happening nationally, not what was happening in the statewide level. They actually had some problems with some of the precincts opening late. In one case in Jefferson Parish, where the janitor had the keys, and he said, you know, right, the election's on Saturday. I'll be there, you know, early on Saturday morning to open it up.
So, yeah, okay.
So they had to rouse him out of bed and get him across town to open the precinct.
Well, let's see what happens in the turnout on December 8th, and there will be a runoff for Secretary of State. And 3 months ago, Mark, I don't think you and I would have forecast a runoff between Kyle Ardoin and Gwen Collins Greenup. This is an amazing result as far as the two survivors in the race.
Well, it is, and then it isn't, because some of the internal polls of the various campaigns were showing that that she was surging and was likely more. She did very well, actually, far better than we thought. But she was going to be the likely Democrat in the race, and I think a large part of that comes from the fact that nobody outside of the bubble here at the state capitol knew who any of these folks were, and so they fell back on running for basic, you know, to energize bases. That's why we saw so much discussion about, you know, the conservative philosophies. They were trying to energize those voters to get out. And basically, Gwen Collins Greenup was the only African-American in the race, and I think that motivated a lot of her votes. She was a Democrat, and the Democrats split their votes between her and Renee Fontenot-Free. And we were expecting a Democrat to find their way into the runoff, as is usual, because about 30% people vote based on the D behind the name.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julie Stokes was the most financed candidate in the race, so over $500,000 raised, and she got 11%. Thomas Kennedy, another Republican, spent very little money, and he got almost 10%. And maybe there's some magic in that Kennedy name in Louisiana, Mark Ballard.
I think that that might be the case. I can't find, and, you know, I covered this race fairly closely, and I cannot find any place where he actually showed up to campaign, and he did not file a campaign disclosure, meaning that he did not raise enough money to meet the very low bar of having to finance to disclose his finances on that. So I think we were reasonable to suggest that having a Kennedy name is what got 9% of the vote for him.
9.41%, 137,049 votes for Thomas Kennedy. Maybe people thought they were voting for John Kennedy because he was listed on the ballot as Thomas J. Kennedy. So it is, you know, it's hard to believe, but probably true that most of the people who voted for him either thought he was related to Kennedy, our junior United States Senator, or that he was John Neely Kennedy, perhaps with another name, Thomas J. Kennedy III. But Mark Ballard, the six constitutional amendments, they all passed, and by flying colors. There was one that was relatively close, the one about donations from political subdivisions. But the
Which
one
was very complex and hard to understand.
Right. But the others passed, including the one that will get rid of non-unanimous jury verdicts. That one was 64-36%.
That was the number one item on the ballot in my mind, because nobody really knew who the Secretary of State candidates were. The congressional candidates were going to win anyway, and there was a huge effort that crossed party lines to do away with this kind of Jim Crow vestige in our criminal justice.
And in the congressional races, all the incumbents won going away. The closest was Clay Higgins, who got just over 55% of the votes in the 3rd District. And that's not really a close race, but it was much closer than the others. 55.6 for Clay Higgins. Mimi Methvin got 18% to finish a very distant 2nd. And Josh Guillory, the other Republican, got 13%. But here is Clay Higgins, who is not talking the party line. He's very disappointed Republicans lost the majority in the United States House of Representatives. And Clay Higgins saying that he's going to lead the fight against communism in the lower chamber on Capitol Hill.
The nature of my engagement in Washington, D.C., and that's how I see it, as sort of a military deployment, has changed. If they attempt to shove a bunch of communist stuff down the throat of America, they can find me a stalwart opponent.
All right, that's Clay Higgins saying he's going to stop communism in the United States House, Mark Ballard.
Well, that seems like a pretty low bar low hurdle to clear. I'm not sure that communism in America is that big of a threat anymore.
But Clay Higgins won, as did Garrett Graves, as did Cedric Richmond and all the others. And that is notable because, as you said, in the country, people were going out to vote in these congressional races, which were razor tight in many cases. But in Louisiana, we pretty much knew who was going to win, and we still went out in big numbers for a midterm election.
Right, right. And Clay Higgins was the only one that had really a competitive race at all. And as it turned out throughout the campaign, that it became less and less so competitive. And it was very clear within the last several weeks that he was going to win easily, and he did. But I think that there was the country. I mean, you need to take a look like at New England, where they voted out all the Republicans except for one. And we have a very stratified voters country right now.
Right. Well, the whole town is buzzing about a story that you have been reporting on, including the top story in the Metro section today. Our Lady of Lake Foundation head fired over embezzlement claims. Mark, this is a story that kind of came out of nowhere for a man making $283,000 a year, John Paul Funes. He is accused of some serious wrongdoing. What's going on?
Well, Apparently, I mean, at least this is what the hospital is saying, the hospital administrators are saying, is that they had found some questionable expenditures, and they dug down deeper in it, and then they raised, the word is several hundred thousand, the amount is several hundred thousand, and that they found that appears that was redirected in an area that was not authorized. What exactly is going on is hard to say because the Our Lady of the Lake is being very quiet about what exactly that they did find. And so this is remarkable that that someone in such a high executive role was fired so abruptly. And certainly raises a lot of questions, but I have a feeling it's going to kind of trickle out over time.
Well, thank you, Mark Ballard. Always a pleasure. Appreciate your insights, as always. And we'll talk next week.